As we go through life, there are going to constantly be transitions. Transitions from bed to getting up for the day, right? That's a transition, not always the most exciting one. Lately, it seems like my transition from bed to getting up includes the couch on the way. I get tired, and I know my alarm's going to go off again and again, and I don't want to wake Karen up, so I'll go out to the couch, and I'll lay there while it goes off again and again, and then I'll get up and go to work. Praise God. You know I told you on Monday mornings I go to work at 5 o'clock. I don't go to work at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm pretty excited about that. I've taken the day off, or Lord willing, we'll do some more work on our house. But transitions, they can be tough, they can be good, they can be all sorts of things in our minds and emotions. I wanted us to think about transition. Transition usually includes the word change. It's been said that any change is always accompanied by drawbacks and discomforts. And yet, they usually bring about good things. Change is good. Not always, I understand that. But change is good. And as we watch God continue to do stuff in here as our church family, as we go through a time of transitions now, change is good. God is faithful. We have a great God. In a time of transitions, I'm different than Pastor Bob. You already know that. And so there's going to be some drawbacks because my personality is different than him. And yet I trust that there's going to be some positive things because God is in this and God is doing this. And as we transition as a church family, but change can bring about discomforts, and yet we grow through those, don't we? And we grow as a church family. Change can come in many forms in our lives. It might come forcefully, like a tidal wave. Right? Man, that's not the kind of change we want, but sometimes it happens. I mean, we think about the Joseph family today. Whatever is going on, and we pray and trust that God will heal Brother Richard or Willard as he goes through this and praying for the family. Man, that came like a tidal wave. There might have been some health things, but, well, they sure weren't expecting all of this. Sometimes change comes like that. Or creeps along incrementally like a glacier. It just comes and we see it. And for God leading our family here, it's been a 2.5-year transition that we didn't expect everything in between. But it's gone slow, and God's taught us so many different lessons. Transition can go in so many different ways. Change can go along. It might come in the form of a devastating tragedy, difficult choices, broken relationships, or even new opportunities. But even though change is often difficult, many times it's also for the best. Accomplishing anything great in life requires significant change that pushes us beyond our comfort zones. We all have a comfort zone, don't we? We are comfortable there. How many of you have a comfort zone in a pew here in the auditorium? Anybody? Okay, yes, I know. That is your guys' section right there, right? I mean, we have comfort zones in life, different places, whether it's a pew in the church or whether it's something at work or don't change the way I drink my coffee because I'm just comfortable with it that way. It's interesting. We all have different comfort zones as we go through different things, but change gets us out of those comfort zones, and that's not always easy. But as God does the change and brings about the change and the transitions, it is always for our best, for His glory. Romans 8:28 talks about that truth, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? It goes on in verses 29-30, that we might be changed into His image. And change is good. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. No matter what transitions, and yes, as a church family, we are going through transitions. Our family is transitioning here. As a church family, we are transitioning. And yet God is good. And God is faithful. But this is not the only transition that you will go through, probably even this week. Life changes. But as we go through this and through the transitions of life, we can always remember that God is faithful. It sounds like a simple statement, but as we stop to grasp it, God is God. And that's all we need. That is the foundation and the anchor. Isn't there a song? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. What is the hope that the Josephs are holding to today? Their anchor in God. And as we go through difficulties in life, we cling to that anchor. Not just, this is the hope I need. No, God is the hope we need. And yes, we need each other. God uses us. Yes, to pray for others and encourage them and contact them and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. Sometimes that's all we don't know what to say, do we, sometimes? But letting people know, hey, I'm loving you. I'm praying for you. That can mean so much. And I never understood that until we have gone through a lot of transitions in the last couple years of our life. There were times in my spirit, in my soul, I'm just like, what is going on? And people would just walk up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. And it was neat because in many ways, a number of them were people that I was the assistant pastor to for a number of years. And they would come up to me after that and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. And that meant more than I could understand. And I know I'd always heard that from people, just letting people know you pray. It really does mean a lot, doesn't it? Let's encourage and edify each other. But as we go through transitions, not forgetting that the anchor we have is God. Isaiah chapter 41. I heard some of you already turning your Bibles there. Isaiah chapter 41. This evening we're going to look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We are so thankful that you are faithful. And that God, as we go through transitions in life, that we can cling to you. And that you will bring us through smoothly for your glory and our good. God, we pray that you would make a difference in our hearts and our lives this evening. God, we do pause again to pray for the Joseph family. And God, just all the emotions going on in their hearts and their lives today and right now. Pray for Willard, that you'll strengthen him, give the doctors and nurses the wisdom of what they need to do. But God, as we go through transitions as a church family during this time, and then other transitions individually, we pray that you will help us to constantly trust you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is faithful, and we can trust him. And yes, as this was written, as Isaiah was a prophet, he was to the nation of Israel. We as a church are not the nation of Israel. But as we look back, we see God's faithfulness because remember, he is, he was, and he will be. And our God is faithful. And as we look at that, God is our refuge and strength. He is our here help. He will uphold us when we feel like we don't have strength to go on. Or when we wonder, how is this going to work? God, we don't understand everything, but we can watch him work and we can watch him do an incredible work. Number one, as we go through transitions, we need to remember that we have been chosen by God. Aren't you thankful for that fact tonight? You have been chosen by God. What a blessing. Wow. Yes, Jesus died for the sins of everyone. But specifically, Jesus died for you. What a blessing. We have been chosen by God. As we look at this here in verse 8, it says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Again, Abraham called the friend of God. And what a blessing. But we're reminded we are his servants. It says here specifically to the nation of Israel. But turn in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, back to the New Testament. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. We see a lot of these truths in Romans 1 through 6, 1 through 7, of what God is and what he's done in our lives as we are sinners. But Romans chapter 6, verse 22. We all, maybe, most of us are familiar with Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But let's look back at verse and see it in its context. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Who are we servants to? God. We've been freed from our sin. for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. We sang a Christmas song tonight. We're getting into this Christmas season. Maybe you're already thinking about Christmas gifts. And maybe you don't wait until Christmas Eve. But as you think about those things, what am I going to give and what's going to happen here? And we think about the great gift that was given to us in Jesus Christ. I mean, one of the thoughts that's hit me strong, and I think it's especially since I have become a father, but it was the humility of Christ to come to earth as a baby. I mean, it was humble for the creator of everything to come down to this earth and take up on a body like yours and mine. But to take up on the body of an infant. And it's hit me especially strong since we've had our kids. Especially for whatever reason, our last three. Really thought about it. All that Christ really went through for us. Because He loved us. Praise God, we have been chosen. But through that choosing, He has made us free from our sin. We're not slaves unto the sin, but we are servants to God. He's telling the nation of Israel here, you, my servants. But here we're reminded throughout the New Testament, we are the servants of God, servants of righteousness, to serve God. You have been chosen by God as His servant, but much more than His servant, as His friend. As we trust God through difficult transitions or through easy transitions of life, as we trust God through these transitions, we can remember we're His servants, but yes, we're His friend. You know, so many religions, aren't you thankful we don't have religion? Religion is just one way to work to God. We have a relationship with the Savior, creator of this universe. And as we think about relationships, that's what it is. We have a friendship with God. But so many that drive down M106 have religion, whether they go to church and it's just their annual or their annual thing at Christmas, or their weekly Sunday morning thing they do to get it off their checklist because that's what they've always done. This is what we need to do to be right with God. Or whether it's just their religion of, it's my life. But we have a relationship with the creator of the universe. A friendship. Turn to John chapter 15. In the Gospel of John, we see Jesus Christ teaching this truth. Yet we're reminded we are His servants, servants unto righteousness, servants unto God. But in John 15, as Jesus is speaking to His disciples, in verse 14, let's start there. Ye are my what? Friends. Wow. We are His friends. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Well, what does He command us? First, to get saved, but then loving others, and it continues in through so many things. But the reality is, we can have that friendship with God. He says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you what? Friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. Here we see that truth again, but I have what? Chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. We are His friends. You and I have been chosen by God. And as we go through transitions of life, we can cling to that rock. I have been chosen by God. Whether it's a tidal wave that hits us, or transitions move along slow like a glacier. We have been chosen by God. Think back to that time when you trusted Christ as Savior. I was 4.5 years old. I was sitting near a ball diamond fence in small rural town Huxley, Iowa. And it was neat to go back there last summer and just those memories. It wasn't some holy ground. But that was where I met Jesus as my friend. And think back to that time. What a blessing. He's chosen you. We're His servant. We're His friend. He has told us, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Wow. We don't have some just religion. It isn't like so many other people in the world. We have a relationship. We have been chosen. And we remember these things as we go through the transitions of life. We've been chosen. But we're in His plan. We're His servants, we're His friends. We're in His plan. He has a plan for our lives. And we can remember that. Again, back in Isaiah chapter 41, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." Did God have a plan for the nation of Israel? He sure did. In fact, it was through the nation of Israel that we have the rock and the anchor of our soul, Jesus Christ. But as He was speaking here, He had a plan for the nation of Israel. And He has a plan for your life and for my life. And that plan includes transitions. Do you think Mary and Joseph, as we're coming into this Christmas season, do you think they had a transition? Imagine those emotions as an unmarried woman in that day and age to be great with child. Or to find out she's pregnant, knowing it was of God. But what are the people going to say? Virgin birth? That never happened before. Talk about transitions. But she could trust her Savior, who was in her womb. Wow. We have been chosen. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for our church family. God has a plan for our lives that includes this greater area. It's not just we live life and this is where we are. God has called us here individually as church family. Wherever He's placed your house, wherever He's got us in our house for the future, He's called us to that location because He and His plan has our neighbors, has the people around us in His plan for our lives. There's by no mistake that our church is on M106. God works these things out. He's got a great plan. We're in His plan. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." His plan includes holiness, sanctification in our lives. John 17:17, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth," being separated and set apart by the word of God unto God. And yet, Jesus says, not that we're called out of this world, but that we're to be in this world and be a light. Wow, we are in His plan. Ephesians 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Goes on in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We're not just saved and left to do whatever. We are His servants. We already talked about that. But we're in His plan to do good works that people may behold our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are here for a reason. Because we are in God's plan right here. An aspect. But we look through all of that and you gaze up at the stars and see the vastness of creation. And you come down just to planet Earth and see, wow, how minuscule we are. And then we think how minuscule America is in light of all of that. And then the mitten, the state of Michigan. And then just south of Lansing. What is that? That is God's plan. And we are in the middle of it. And what a blessing. As we go through transitions of life, we have been chosen by God. What a great blessing that is to know. And the confidence that we can have as we go through transition. Number one, we have been chosen by God. Number two, we will face experiences that may cause us to fear. Back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah verses 8, 9. We read those. Verse 10. What is the very first word of verse 10? Now it doesn't say fear. Fear reigns in our lives. It says, fear thou not. Aren't we reminded in the New Testament? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We talked a little bit about that this morning, directing our thoughts. Right? Because if we're going to ever rejoice in the circumstances, whether it be transitions of life or difficulties of other nature, that really they're all transitions. But as we go through those things and we're ever going to rejoice, we must direct our thoughts according to the Word of God. And so here, he says, fear thou not. Why? Why don't we have to fear in life? The very next phrase answers that. For I am with thee. A short phrase, again, that we said might seem insignificant until we really stop to think about it. God is God. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He said, tell them I am that I am. He is God. He is. Wow. We don't have to fear. But we will face transitions, experiences, other things that will cause us to fear. Again, we refer to that a little bit as we were talking about rejoicing this morning. Our immediate thing shouldn't just be, wow, worry and fear and all this stuff, but to remember, pray to God, direct your thoughts, follow godly men, individuals that God has placed in our lives. We don't have to be afraid. The word fear means to be frightened or terrified. You ever been afraid, scared? Maybe you worked that up in yourselves. You know, and it's interesting. Anybody ever been afraid of the dark? Now, just because you raise your hand as an adult doesn't mean you are today, but it doesn't mean you're not either, right? Right? We go through those different things in life. Man, I can scare myself. There were times back in Muskegon that I would be at the church sometimes midnight, 1 o'clock. I'd be doing stuff. My family's sleeping. And I would park right outside the main door of the church. I mean, I'm right outside the door. If I let my imagination run, I mean, it was dark out there. And if I let my imagination run, I'd run quick to my car and I'd lock that door. Right? I mean, we go through those things and there are going to be transitions in life that cause us to fear. What do I do? What's going to happen? But instead of meditating on those fears, which really is called worry, isn't it? Instead of meditating on those fears, we focus on God. We don't have to be afraid. Just because your first reaction is fear doesn't mean the situation is wrong. Think about Mary. What did the angel say? Fear not. Think about Joseph. What did the angel say? What about Zacharias? What did the angel say? I mean, whoa, what about the shepherds? They see these angels up in the sky. Fear not. Well, because their first reaction was fear, did that mean they were in wrong situations? No. But it meant God wants to meet with you and he's got a great plan. And God had a plan for all of those. As you go through transitions of life, man, remember we've been chosen. But remember, we'll face experiences that will cause us to fear. But it's what are we going to do? We can trust God through those transitions of life. We don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be dismayed. Again, that word fear, we looked at that and said to be frightened or afraid. Verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Well, dismay gives us the idea to gaze about in anxiety, to look away. Think about the New Testament. Peter. He was afraid. And yet, he said, Lord, if it's really you, will you bid me to walk to you on the water? How many of the other disciples got out to walk on the water to Christ? None. Now we give Peter a hard time. Don't we? I mean, hey man, he put his foot in his mouth again. We do stuff like that. But as he stepped out in faith, and he did, stepped out in faith, what was his tendency when he saw the boisterous waves around him? He was dismayed. He gazed about in anxiety of the situation. What's going to happen? And yet, what did Christ do? He reached out his hand. And Peter rose back to the surface of the water. Wow, talk about a miracle. But we don't have to be dismayed as we go through transitions. When your first reaction is fear, look immediately to Christ. We can trust God through those transitions of life, difficult or easy. And whatever may be going on in life, we can trust Him. Wow, what a great God. He's chosen us. We don't have to be afraid when transitions happen and change takes place, which is sometimes a natural reaction. But again, because it's a natural reaction doesn't mean it's wrong. But it means we must immediately look to Christ so that we don't get dismayed by the situation and looking around in anxiety and what am I going to do and what's going to happen and how are we going to go from here. But that Christ is that rock. Throughout the Psalms, we see so many different things, so many truths about God. It's incredible. He is our refuge, our rock, our high tower, our high place. So many different truths about Him. But He's that firm foundation. Verse 10 in Isaiah 41 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." That's all we need. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am," whose God? Thy God. We've got a relationship with Him. And yet, sometimes it's difficult to look to Christ when we get in the middle of difficult transitions and change. Because we started gazing about the change and wondering, what's going on? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to get through this? But He says, "For I am thy God." That's why we consistently walk with God. Because He's our hope. In the easy times of life, when we don't think we need Him, we need Him. Because it's that we're reminded in the New Testament that it's in Him that we live and breathe and have our being. But it's also in those times of difficulty and shipwreck that we live and breathe and have our being. Paul went through a lot of shipwreck and difficult times and transitions. But he realized he was chosen by God. And he realized that he didn't have to fear in those situations. How many times did the soldier ready to either kill himself or kill, in Acts 16, the soldier ready to kill himself, but other times when Paul was in shipwreck, soldiers ready to kill all of the prisoners so they wouldn't get away because of the bad storm they were in. Hey, fear not. God's with us. But for us who are saved, we have a personal relationship. Again, if you don't know Christ as Savior, man, that is the most important decision in life. But how many of our neighbors don't know Christ as Savior? And they go through difficult things of life. Where are we to point them in their transitions? Back to the Savior. Back to the hope we have. How can you be that way in the difficult situations of your life? Be ready to give an answer. But go out of your way to help them. Hey, I'm praying for you. Do something practical to show them your love and to show them that God makes a practical difference in lives. Be that encouragement. They don't have to be afraid. They don't have to fear. As we go through the transitions of life, we have been chosen by God. We don't have to be afraid. And number three, we have a God that can be trusted. Again, that's why we don't have to be afraid. But there are two truths. Because in verse 10 he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." The one side and the other side. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." And then look at what he says. Not only he's our God, but he can be trusted. He says at the end of verse 10, "I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God will strengthen us. We don't always understand how to go through transitions and difficult situations of life, but God will help us. God will strengthen us. God will work. The word strengthen means to make strong or brave. You ever feel like you're not brave? Those times we let our fears, whether it's of the dark or of some other situation in life, rule and reign in our life. We're afraid. God wants to make us brave. Not in our own strength to be everything, watch me. But to let God work and make us, give us His braveness. "I will strengthen thee," He says. Again, it's all about who when we go through those transitions. It's all about Him. It's not about working it up in ourselves. The old philosophy, well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and let's get going. And there's a point we've got to take responsibility. But again, we take responsibility to direct our thoughts back to the Word of God. And it's through Him that we get strength for life. It's through him that we get strength and the braveness. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what to do. But continue to put our focus back on him, and he will strengthen us, make us bold. God will strengthen us. God will help us. It goes on. It says, I will help thee. The word help means to surround and protect. He doesn't want to just help us to be brave, but he's there to surround and protect us. Which is incredible to think about, because when difficult things in our lives happen and transitions out of difficulty, sometimes it's like, well, where was God? But he was right there to protect us and not let us experience anything more than we could handle. He's promised that, hasn't he? And as he protects us, surrounds us, we're reminded in the Gospel of John that we're in his hand, the Father's hand. I mean, talk about being protected. No man, nothing can separate us from God. Romans 8, 32 through the end of the chapter, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Wow. We have a God who can be trusted. He'll strengthen us. He'll help us, surround and protect us. And God will uphold us. Again, each of these builds on the other. It's not by mistake. God's word is written with words. As simple as that sounds, and we say, well, of course it was. But words have meanings, don't they? If I said the walls in here are red, you wouldn't believe me, because red has a meaning. I look out and I see red and I see Joanne. But the walls are not red. Words have specific meanings. And there's a reason God put these three phrases in a row. Yes, he'll strengthen us. But more than just strengthen us, he'll help us. And even more than helping us and surrounding us and protecting us, he will uphold us. This word uphold means to support or sustain or hold fast. How many of you thought about, before you sat down tonight, is this pew going to hold me up? I didn't. How many of you had just plopped down and expected it to hold you up and would have been shocked if you fell to the floor? Now, hopefully you wouldn't have laughed at your neighbor if they fell on the floor. But we think about through that aspect of that pew upheld you. It upheld me. When I stepped up these stairs, I didn't expect to fall through the platform. I mean, these are just natural things in life. But when we get in the middle of difficult transitions or transitions we don't want, or how are we going to deal with this, or how's this going to work and how's that going to work, and we begin to fret and get our gaze upon these situations, then we aren't being upheld by God. We're rather trusting in whatever I can do to work it out. But God says, I want to support and sustain and hold you fast. When you're weary or tired at the end of the day, or physical labor, and it's just like you're exhausted, and just, yesterday I got home, I finished work at McDonald's, and I went to pick up our kids who were at my parents, and man, I was exhausted. And it was a short ride home, and I was tired, and I was ready to get home. The kids, we all went into Karen's in my bedroom, and the kids were telling mom about the day, and I said a couple things, but I just laid back with Leah. And she was laying on me. And man, I fell fast asleep. I did not expect for that bed to collapse. I didn't think about it. I just, that bed supported me. And it was comfortable. God supports us and is comfortable. He comforts us, strengthens us, helps us. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We can rest in him. Because he's a God who's already there. He's a God who has a plan for your life and mine, and it makes a difference. God will help us, strengthen us, support us, uphold us. And exciting. Transitions are exciting. Some are difficult, but they can be exciting. I'm excited about the transition going on in our church family here. And I trust you are as well. But God will bring our church family through this time of transition that he has called us to. And we will thrive for Him in our community, won't we? We can trust in Him. He's got a plan. You know, when God called Pastor Bob here many years ago, He knew that He was going to call us here this year. That wasn't a doubt in His mind. It wasn't, what am I going to do when Pastor Bob gets to that point? He had a plan. God works in great ways. And as we go through transitions, God can be trusted. And we can rest and rely fully upon Him. We said we have been chosen by God, and we can rest in that fact. Our church has been chosen by God today to be a lighthouse in our area, our community, for Him. That's exciting. We will face experiences that cause us to fear. There are going to be things in this transition time that maybe you don't understand and that maybe I don't understand. There will. I'm telling you already. Because we all go through transitions like that, and there are things that we think we understand, and then it's like, I don't understand. But as we go through those times, we can trust our God because He led us thus far. He's got a plan for us in the future. And so we trust Him. Things that don't understand don't always make sense. We go forward as a church family trusting that God did it. And that's why we look back, and that's why we wait for God to lead. And God to direct our lives. Because then when transitions happen because we made choices, we can say, God did this, God did this, God did this, God did this, and thus we're here. Now there are going to be things that we don't understand in this transition time. Both ways. You have to learn us. And we have to learn you. But God did it. We're confident of that. You're confident of that. And thus we go forward excited. God, we trust you. And we know that He's in it. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be dismayed. Because we have a God who, during this time of transition, will strengthen us, will help us, surround us, protect us. And He will uphold us. When we don't know, when we don't understand, we trust God. And we can trust God through the transitions of life. God has used Pastor Bob greatly in your life, hasn't He? Aren't you thankful for that? What a great God. God has called me here and our family here. We're excited about it. I hope you're just as excited as we are. And what I've grasped is that you are, and we're thrilled for that, and we're excited to be here. But you know, God has changed me. He's been changing me. And I know He's been changing you. I mean, I don't understand why, from Pastor Bob's perspective and your perspective, why did this transition have to take 2+ years? And from my perspective, why did we have to resign our church 2.5 years ago and God not direct us until this time together? I don't know, but can't we trust God? Didn't He do that? He knew that you weren't ready for us and we weren't ready for you. And so we trust God. We don't always understand, but we trust God through these times because He's got a plan. And we watch Him work it out. And you know what? God wants to keep changing all of us to be like Him. So yes, through this transition time as a church family, let's trust God and go forward with excitement. But also with the transitions that are going to happen in your own life individually, we can trust God. You can trust Him and watch Him work in ways that only He can work. Because He's chosen you and He's got a plan. He didn't forget. Because He's got us in His plan for the rest of our lives. And in His perfect timing, we'll go to be with Him in glory. So let's let God work in us and through us so that others around us can behold our good works that God has worked in us and glorify our Father which is in heaven. He's the one who we can trust, and they can too. But they need us to point us to Him as they watch us live through our times of transition, resting in the rock that's Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love.